Good, thank you for leading us this evening. I have one of these books that's come back to me in the new year. I got hold of this book, A Good Old Age by Derek Prime. It's the A to Z of loving and following the Lord Jesus in later years. And I got five of these books, and they've been circulating around the church. And if you'd like to borrow that and read it and then bring it back, pass it on, that'd be absolutely great. Can I say that those who are in younger years as well would benefit from reading this as well? Because there's all sorts of helpful advice about just practical Christian living. So it's excellent. It's here this evening. And if somebody wants to have that to borrow as we leave tonight, you're very, very welcome to that. Well, I hope you've eaten today and you've had sufficient. Many of us in this church, we can go to our fridge freezers, we can go to our cupboards, and there's a variety of things for us to choose from and to enjoy. And if there isn't anything there, it's probably because we haven't either gone to the shops or we haven't bothered sending out our email with our fresh order. Some of you will remember this situation here on the screen now. This is back in 1977. And this is the bread strike when there was a baker's dispute about pay. I don't know if you remember that, some of you. And it lasted just over a week. And yet it was amazing how quickly the population of the UK was affected. And I can remember quite vividly seeing queues like this outside shops. There would be a rumour that so-and-so had a delivery of bread coming in. People would charge down, they'd queue up, there'd be a big rush into the shelves. And as quick as anything, the bread would go. And it was just amazing how, in our sort of society, how quickly the distribution system that is normally so effective and so quick from the place of manufacturer to the point of sale, how quickly it dried up and there was just none there. Do you remember that, some of you? Do you remember the bread strike? And the fashions are just wonderful, aren't they? There's not a pair of trainers, there's not a sweatshirt anywhere. There's the early McLaren buggy, for those of you who remember that. Looks tiny, doesn't it, compared to the contraptions that we have now, that little children this size are wheeled around in. They're the size of tanks, aren't they? What's happened? The world has gone crazy, but that's a sign of getting older as well. The bread strike. And actually, while I'm on my feet this evening, I just want to say something about the sugar shortage. Some of you might remember that in 1974. The government put out the message that it was because of a breakdown of quotas and tariffs to do with the sugar producers. Well, I just want to say to you this evening, that is not true. That is misinformation. That is false news. The sugar strike in 1974 was caused by my granny. Because in every cupboard, in every room in her house, there was bags of sugar. And that's what caused the shortage. And that while the nation suffered, the Doherty family all had sugar for their tea. But it was my granny's fault. On Sunday evenings, we're looking at phrases from the Lord's Prayer. The prayer that Jesus taught that emphasizes the things that are really essential, the things that we should have primarily in our minds. It's not to the exclusion of everything. But these were the things that the Lord Jesus brought to the fore. When you pray, these are the things to bear in mind. The first three phrases that we have thought about over the last few Sunday evenings are about God and the commitment that we should have to His interests, to the things that concern Him. And the remaining three, the first of which we come this evening, are primarily to do with our personal needs. And so the honor of God's name comes before concern for our own reputation. The interests of the kingdom of God come before personal matters. And yet, the Lord Jesus holds all of these things together as being things that should be of concern to us. Give us our daily bread is where we are tonight. And this is about our Heavenly Father meeting our basic, material, physical needs. The God who created us also provides for us. Psalm 104 that we read earlier in the service reminds us that God has in a wonderful way, working through what he has made, putting the natural world in order and continuing its ability to create, God has provided for our lives. Psalm 104 also speaks about the variety and vitality of God's creation and the provision that he has made for us. Verse 27 and 28 that we didn't actually read, but it's tucked in there near the bottom, says, all of these look to you to give them food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. God gives good gifts. God is concerned about what he has made. God sustains what he has made. Give us this day our daily bread. Bread sums up the basic material needs. What we have in mind here is life's necessities. Most societies and communities have a staple diet. And that's very often just described as their bread. And when famine occurred, the hunt is on to source the basic necessities. I doubt if many of us here know much of that experience of famine. But when Jacob and his family had that come into their lives, he knew it was to Egypt that he must get to. For unbeknown to him, God had already made a provision through the son whom he thought he'd lost, with whom he was reunited. How God had given Joseph great wisdom and understanding. And Egypt was to have plenty. And from the plenty that it had the ability to care for its people and those in the region in times of need. I actually think there's something very significant in that. I might touch on this later on. I can't quite remember. But you know, one of the great things that people say is, well, you know, give us this day our daily bread. God doesn't do that. Why is there so much famine in the world? Why are people going to bed hungry tonight? And it's an immense question, of course. But in our modern world, it is not beyond the wit of humankind to deal with that. If the motive was there, if the concern was there, if the resources were given to that, there is enough in our world. It's the distribution. And those who seek after more, very often at the expense of others. Trade wars, we've heard about them recently, and I'm not sure you really understand it all, but the big traders, like many a businessman, make sure that the scales are tipped in their favor. And there are many of the very poor countries of this world could do much better economically than they do at the moment because the tariffs are there to benefit the ones who are in the position of power. Now, I'm going to stop there in case I upset somebody. They say, oh, the preacher's got all political tonight. But, you know, we've got to have our feet on the ground. We live in a real world as Christians. And we benefit immensely in the West, in where we live, often at the expense of others who don't get a fair share of what they could possibly have. Right, I'll calm down and move on to what we've got here. So the bread, it speaks about the bare necessities of, oh, that sounds like a song, doesn't it? But it sounds like, it speaks about those essential physical things that we need. And of course, one of the great provisions of God was manna in the desert. Having brought his people up out of Egypt, if you like, almost like a new creation for them, an opportunity of new life and liberty, they had to be sustained. They had to be fed. The Creator sustains what he has made. The one who gave a new opportunity to his people had to provide for their needs. There's a massive number of people to feed. And God provided manna. That what is it? wonder food. That's what the word manna means. What is it? They looked at it and said, what is it? And we're told that it was white like coriander seed and tasted like wafers made with honey. And this bread, this manna that he gave, was provided daily except on the Sabbath. It had to be eaten daily, otherwise it went off, except the batch that was kept for the Sabbath. And it provided all the nourishment they needed. And interestingly, it was also a test. When the manna was given, God gave it to see whether the people would live in obedience to God, whether they'd follow the Lord's instructions. It was provided throughout the Exodus as the children of Israel were on their way to the promised land, as was footwear and clothing, until they got into the promised land. And there, because it was a land of plenty, the next day that provision came to an end, because there was a new provision given for them. And the manna taught daily dependence upon God. It reminded them of the significance of the Sabbath and also the sinfulness of selfish hoarding. It was to teach people to look beyond the gift and to come to recognize and to rely upon the great giver, God Himself. One of the great tragedies, isn't it, when we eagerly grasp the gift and fail to look beyond and acknowledge and say thank you to God Himself. So give us this day our daily bread. It speaks about our basic needs. God has been faithful, as we see in His provision for His people in an extraordinary situation. And it also reminds us about being content with what we have. Moses, who led God's people through the wilderness, in his last great sermon, which is basically the book of Deuteronomy, he said this to the people: when you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land He has given you. Be careful not to forget the Lord your God. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God. You know, we need to hear this. We live in a prosperous, materialistic, consumerist society. Most people expect to find everything on the shelves tomorrow that are on the shelves today. It's just the thought of something going badly wrong with Brexit that all of a sudden makes people slightly anxious. But generally speaking, we go to the store today, we take the product we want, we use it tonight, and we fully expect to be able to go back tomorrow and find it there as we found it today. We do it without thinking. It's just automatic. The systems are in place, and it just seems to run without pausing and giving thanks. And we can so easily be tempted to make a disconnect between the things that there are for us to enjoy and the generous God who's provided for us. We live in an increasingly secular society where God is, well, not just pushed to the margins, He's airbrushed out of the picture. And we need to remind ourselves that this is the God whose loving kindness extends to his provision for our daily needs. We must be careful that we do not worship the gifts and lose sight of the provider. It's a good thing now and again to pause, to count your blessings, and to say thank you. The busyness of life, pressures of responsibilities, we just crash on. But just to sit and say thank you. Thank you to God. To learn the secret of being content. Apostle Paul said that godliness with contentment is great gain. In the same passage, he warned about avoiding the peril for more. The insatiable appetite that our sort of society creates, where we just feel we have to have more in order to be happy. Some years ago, I had a couple of weeks in the US, and as part of that, I went along with a friend to a pastor's conference in Minneapolis. It was quite an experience for me. I hadn't been to the States before. It was a first timer. I just thought it was great. You saw fire hydrants like the ones you saw in the films. You saw U-Haul trucks like Home Alone at Christmas. All sorts of things. It was just amazing seeing all the things you saw on the telly, but for real. And I went to this conference, which was fairly kind of big as well and well done. And it kind of just tickled me. On the napkins in the refectory where the meals were provided, the napkins were stamped with the name of the conference, the date of the conference, and a little verse from 1 Corinthians 10:31, and it just said this: eat and drink to the glory of God. And I thought, yeah, they do it differently over in the States. I've never seen that before. And I suppose I found it quite amusing. You know, eat and drink to the glory of God. All right, pile in, go for it. You know, it's the encouragement to sort of get a nose bag on and just launch yourself into it. And by the looks of some of the people around about me, they'd spent a lifetime doing that. I don't think that really was the message. That was kind of the surface message. Get stuck in, enjoy it. I think they're really saying, look, remember that this is God's doing. And these things that, you know, are just ordinary things to us because they're familiar and we can partake of them regularly, actually these things come from our God who generously provides for us. So eat and drink to the glory of God, remembering to give him his place and to say thank you to him. Of course, in our plenty, we should be mindful of those without. As we pray, we say, give us today our daily bread. It's not about me and my, but it encompasses that sense of community and a concern for others. As recipients of God's blessing, we have a responsibility as stewards to share with others in need. The second commandment reminds us to love our neighbor as ourselves. And that should prompt us to action when we see others who are less fortunate than ourselves. Two of the great chapters that we have about giving in the Bible were prompted by the concern that the church in Corinth had for their fellow believers in Jerusalem. And so much of the principles and the understanding that we would seek to follow as Christian people, it comes from something that was promoted out of a loving concern for their fellow brothers and sisters in Christ who were enduring persecution, who were really, really struggling to make ends meet. We're encouraged in Galatians chapter 6, as we have opportunity to do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. What good is your faith if you see your brother in need and you do nothing to help him? And so what are called mercy ministries have, of course, been developed and spawned that reflect the love and compassion of Christ I just picked up off the stand there this report from Tear Fund, which of course celebrates 50 years of seeking to bring the love of the Lord Jesus into needy situations, demonstrating that love and concern in practical ways. And we're so grateful, aren't we, for agencies like Tear Fund, who God has used in cooperation with the church to bring great support and practical relief to those who are in need. Amen. Practical love and concern should be a tangible expression of God's people. It should be a hallmark of the church. So give us this day our daily bread. It reminds us to be content with what we have, to be grateful for the abundance that we enjoy, but to be mindful of those who are without. And finally, I don't think it's stretching it too far, although I think the primary thrust is our basic physical material needs. But it is a reminder to be grateful for Jesus, who is the bread of life. And I think if anyone has justification for making this link, it's simply that it's one that the Lord Jesus made himself. He didn't have any doubt about making that feeling, making that link as he spoke about it. It's interesting, each of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, each of them tell us about the feeding of the 5,000. In all other areas, they tend to be selective and go their own way. Some have two or three of the same miracles. But all of them pick up on this amazing miracle of the Lord Jesus. And after the crowd were dispersed and the disciples met with the Lord Jesus again, they were inquisitive and they began to ask him about the significance of what just had occurred. And in John chapter 6 and verse 27, where the Lord Jesus gives a fuller explanation, he says this. He says, "Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you." He goes on and he says, "I tell you the truth. It is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." So there's a bit of a kind of play going on here between the manna, which God gave through Moses, which was this essential product to sustain physical life. Without God's provision of that, life could not have been sustained. And Jesus is making a comparison and he's saying that, you know, just as God acted through that manner in him sending me and giving me, he's providing that which is essential for spiritual life. He goes on and he says this. He says, "For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. I am," Jesus says, "the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." So the Lord Jesus, he didn't feel uncomfortable at all about making this connection. The feeding of the 5,000, in some ways, it shows Jesus' superiority over the natural world. It demonstrated clearly not only his compassion for the crowd, but his ability as God to create this miracle. But in John 6, he's also clear in his mind that there's a justifiable link between the benefits of physical bread and what that gives to the physical body, to his coming down from heaven like the manna given by the Father, provided to be given to his people so that those who partake of him will be spiritually satisfied and will be nourished, not only in the here and now, but also through him, through partaking of him, will receive eternal life. It's all there in John chapter 6. Look it up for yourself. It's a great passage. And so as we speak about the daily bread that we enjoy, it's a reminder too of the bread of heaven, the Lord Jesus who came in order that we might receive eternal life. So give us this day our daily bread. It's a very short phrase. On one level, it's got a very accessible meaning, but actually, as we've seen this evening, it can take our thoughts in many different ways, and ways in which God can encourage us and help us and give him praise and appreciation in even greater ways.